amazing grace, how much He loves us.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who shapes the whole world with only thunder and brings the surface in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all things. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is
team, 16.1. I just want to say, this worship team, they make some of us look bad, because what were we doing at 16? So praise God for young people that are serving God in such an amazing way. Praise God. Praise God. All right, Bob, can you go to that first slide for me? So like all good things, even family camp must come to an end. And I know, who here has had a great week? Oh, it's been amazing. We've had a great time. And so many people are just coming up to me and saying, this was a great week. We had such a good time. This was great. So I'm so glad. So I think we have a video that's going to highlight some of the things that we did not see happen, and that was with the little kids that Chris was leading. So, Bob, I think we have a video.
Listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Matthew 7:24.
All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Matthew 14:27.
Matthew 12:21, and his name will be the hope for all the world.
With you always, even to the end of the ages. Matthew 28:20.
Let's give it up to Chris and all she's done with our kids. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. All right, and if you did not know, earlier today, there was a third-time repeating champion of the parents in the softball game, or in the wiffle ball game. Let me hear it, parents! Parents! Well, anyway, Rick had his camera going and caught some of the highlights of the game.
Born.
That's it, right there. All right, all I got to say, kids, come back next year, try again, all right, beginning next year, if you go to the next slide, you will see we got Pete Brock up here next year coming up. Please make sure you take a look at those dates and put them in your calendar now. As well as Pete Brock up, we have Frank Chan coming up next year. He is a dear friend of mine. I'm so looking forward to him being here for the morning Bible hour. So keep going. We have thank yous. So I have a couple thank yous I want to read for all the people who have helped out here in the camp. So bear with me here. So we have Summer Grove staff. We have the housekeeping, food. So if you like the food, give it up for the food services. April at the Snack Shack. April. Dave Urban, the cottage owner here, picked all the berries for the berry slushies that are happening tonight. So is that right, April? Where are you at? So we... That's amazing. And then we have $3 walking tacos. Fantastic. So that's at the Snack Shack after the service. So then we have Kathy Smith, Jane Bitter for organizing the lovely ladies' luncheon. Special thanks for everybody who volunteered for kids' ministry. Snack Shack. We could not have done these things without the volunteers. Ira, Ed and Sue Daneker, H and J, though I can't mention them because we're recording. Jeff Bean, Chris Mitchell, Kaylee Getz in the kids ministry. Zach Vincent, Chris and Susie Watts in the youth ministry. Eric Blatz for the worship team. Logan Stoner, Sunday worship, Youth Friday worship. Jonathan Weibel, thank you for our Jonathan Schaefer being here tonight. And then the committee, Kane Amig, Bob Anderson, Kaylee Getz, Rick Hamilton, Matthew York, and Jeff Zarfoss. However, I missed someone there. Jen, would you come up? Jen is leaving our committee for organizing family camp. You've been on the committee for 18 years? For 18 years. And we have something for you. So... we have these. First of all, ladies, come up. Come up. Would you please share with what you made for Miss Jen? Thank you, Miss Jen. Thank you. And Katie's here with me. Something our heartfelt appreciation. I'll take it for you. Let me get it for you. Our heartfelt appreciation for you and all that you've done for us. Can I have the planning committee please come up here, please, if you'd be willing to, if you can. Jeff, Kaylee, we just want to just share with you how appreciative and how big shoes, there are some big shoes to fill with you coming off of the planning committee team, and we're so thankful for what you've done on behalf of Family Camp. It would not be Family Camp without you. It will still be Family Camp without you, but you're still going to be here, is that right? All right, you're not going anywhere, right?
No.
Praise God. All right. Would you join me if we just pray and say thank God for Jen? Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for Jen and what she's done for Family Camp. We thank you for the years of service here with us and being able to make different behind the scenes. Personally, I thank you for her. She has done so much just to alleviate so much of our team. Really, she did all the heavy lifting. So, Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you for her. May she enjoy this respite. I pray we don't call her too much. And I pray that she would enjoy just that maybe when the phone doesn't ring. So, Lord, thank you for all she does. Yeah. Thank you for the way that she touches our hearts and everything she does to glorify you with this family camp. Thank you, Jesus, for Jen. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 We knew you were going to cry, by the way. We knew it. All right, and if that's, I think we have, go to the next one for me. That means we have it tonight. Hold on. There it is! There it is! All right. It's time. Who wants to come on down? Who wants to come on down? Come on down. Let's go. Let's go. Steve, come on down. Steve. Tyler, come on down. We got you in the blue. You in the blue. Come on down. All right. Here we go. All right. Jeff, will you tell us what our first item is?
It's the brand new car. This 2026 diecast car is budget friendly with rock bottom insurance rates.
All right, that's not actually the price. Here's our prize.
Ooh. Entertain in style with this elegant 18-inch porcelain serving tray, beautifully adorned with raised floral butterfly details. It's the perfect way to serve appetizers, desserts, or simply add a touch of charm to any room. Ooh. Take it away, Matt.
Thank you. All right, here we go. All right. So you're up. You're your first bid. How much do you think this would sell for retail?
$79.99.
Bing!
$85.
$85. $70.
$6.7.
Would that be $6.70? $67. Retail price. $49.99. Wait, you all went over. You're all over. You're all over. Now what do we do?
Make up.
Nobody gets it. Guess what? The president's getting it. thanks. All right. Please see me. If you lost a key, we have a silver key here that has USA on one side. It might be to a camper or a trailer. Would you just see me if you lost it, if you're missing a key? We found it out on the disc golf course. Is that right? I think that's it. All right, that's it for my announcements. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And once again, let me just say I'm so proud that I think it was Jen's idea to say, hey, it was Jeff's. Jeff, sorry, we're going to give all the credit to Jen. So we just had a desire to have the young kids from our family camp to come and just to share worship and to lead with hearts. And let's just say thank you for their willingness to do so. Thank you so much.
Can I have everyone stand to your feet? And we're going to sing this next song with lots of joy, okay? Because, I mean, we're singing to a God who loves us and who created us, and we need to praise him with tons of joy, which is exactly what he wants. So, yeah, this is House of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us very much. You can be seated. I'm back up here one more time to ask one last time for us to meet our goal this evening. So we got really close. So thank you for your sacrificial giving. We're 90% of the way there. So we just need $1,700 more in our general fund to cover the expenses of camp this week. So we're going to take two offerings tonight. So listen carefully. First offering will be for general expenses, so we're going to actually pass the buckets twice. First time through is going to be anything in the buckets will go to our general fund. Again, we need $1,700. Checks in the buckets, Eastern PA District or cash, online. QR codes are posted if you want to give online. Second offering will be for our IWs, so anything in the second buckets, second time through will be for our IWs. Again, same rules, Eastern PA District for checks, cash, in the buckets will go to our international workers, who we deeply appreciate this week for sharing with us. Some on the front lines and really in sometimes hard places to share, and church planting can be hard. We heard from Jeff Bean this morning. So we want to bless them financially. Everybody has done very well here the last several years. They've been very blessed financially. So it says about a lot about your heart. You love family camp. Yeah, we love family camp, and I think we're becoming family as we continue to have events like the wiffle ball game and the cornhole tournaments. It brings people together, so I love it. I'm going to pray. Kids are still dismissed as normal tonight, so as we go to sing, kids, you can go back to your class for one last time this evening. Worship team is going to lead us in two more songs, and then we're going to have the message. So let's pray. So, Father, thank you so much. We thank you for your blessings of this week. What a great, great week. We thank you for your financial blessings. Thank you for the money that's been raised. Just thank you for the sacrificial giving of your people. And we just pray for this last little bit this evening to meet our expenses for the week and for the international workers. We cannot thank you enough for what they're doing. So I just thank you for them, and I pray this financial blessing will be meaningful to them as we give sacrificially to them. So, Father, again, bless our offering tonight. Bless the rest of our service. Bless us as we go home. May we not go home empty-handed. May we be taking something with us that we can put into our lives, our spiritual practice. Maybe it's a new relationship we built, something that we can take with us that we can use to grow us spiritually in the year to come. And we look forward to coming back next year to continue to grow and learn together. Again, we thank you for this offering and this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we begin this song, I wanted to read a verse that I found that kind of goes with it. It's called When Wind Meets Fire, but the verse is John 20:21-22. It says, "Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So during this next song, I want us to really just be focusing on the breath of Jesus that is like he created us. He breathed that life into us, and it's flowing through our lungs. Without that, we wouldn't be here. And as we've been talking about his presence and Jesus, his Holy Spirit always being with us, like right next to us, I want us to just really keep that in mind as we're singing this. Sing as if Jesus has his hand on your shoulder, his hand in your hand. Sing with Jesus, for Jesus, because he's giving us the breath to sing.
Until you breathe, so breathe on me, then my life. Wow. You, thank you so much for leading us, and I can use either one here. That's, can I just say, Mary and I have been so grateful to be here with you all. It's been, thank you for welcoming us. We're sorry we missed the wiffle ball. I love baseball. So, youth, I'm cheering you on for next year. I think next year is going to be your year. And just tackle the adults. Like, just make it a combination football game, you know, as a runner on the bases. But But that looked like a lot of fun. Excellent job on the photography. Wow. Pictures that were taken. And then all the children's workers who were... I still remember when I was in elementary school, I remember Mrs. Kozik. And I remember Mrs. Pitts. I remember Mr. Hammonds. And I just remember a lot of the teachers, Mrs. Frampton. Teachers I had in Sunday school or, you know, vacation Bible school when I was in first, second, third grade. And so for all of the adults who have been investing in that way, thank you, thank you. You never know the impact you're going to have on a child's life. Thank you for welcoming us so warmly. Mary and I have just enjoyed getting to hear your stories, to find out more. We were up today at Chapel Point. The reason I missed the game was we were at Chapel Point. Anybody been to Chapel Point in Carlisle, Pennsylvania? All right, a number of you, yeah. It's a great spot. And, in fact, Pastor is the chaplain there. Steve's been a pastor in this district. He had all kinds of good things to say about Summit Grove. And a number of the people, in fact, one lady we met, she was a missionary in India. She is 101 years old, Mrs. Llewellyn. And there was a few. Florence is 105. There's a few people that I just thought, wow, God, thank you for these senior saints. Two or three of them took our hands and said, I want to pray for you right now. So anyhow, I went up there and spoke in chapel today, and then we had lunch with the staff, and so that's why I missed the wiffle ball game. But thank you for being here. Mary and I, there's something called the President's Prayer Team, and we have a slide here that you'll see that if you would like to sign up to pray for us, maybe you even just wonder, like, what does the President of the Alliance do? We sent out a letter. One will come out in about three more weeks from now, and if you either do the QR code or go to that link and just say, I'm just going to sign up. There's no obligation for anything. It's just you sign up. But we would love it if you would say, oh my, we give a whole schedule of where we are every day. And you can just target your prayers and say, is Jonathan and Mary are speaking at that church in Nebraska today? Or is there working among, you know, with missionaries in England or whatever? We would be really, really glad to have you be praying for us in that time. So that's just a little bit what's happening. And one of the things I appreciated last night was to be able to pray together and just to be able to say, God, we're trusting you together. And I hope that you'll see, those of you, there's just so many people who came for prayer, that there would be a sense of Lord, I'm seeing your grace poured out in my life, whether through a miraculous healing or whether through sustaining grace. I want to come to the second part of that. What do you do when life is hard and it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight? And you just go, man, I prayed about this and I'm still dealing with this chronic illness, or I have this challenging relationship, or there's something with our finances or whatever it might be. How do you continue on faithful to Jesus? We've been talking about our theme, See the Invisible. The first night we looked at Elisha and Gehazi and said, when it feels like you're overwhelmed, outnumbered, there's no way, defeat almost feels certain, that God can open our eyes. Remember Elisha says, God, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And Gehazi's eyes open, and he says, there are more with us than there are with them. Like with all the angels. Like he says, there's more with us than there are with them. Last night we said, if Jesus were to walk into this room and were to be here, what if we saw the invisible Jesus? And we said, we don't have to wonder about that. He is here, right? Tonight I want us to look at, what about the invisible home yet to come? Like, what is the hope that we have that sometimes heaven can seem so ethereal and what's really going to happen? But what if we lived in light of our invisible home to come? I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This has been a promise that God has really drilled into my heart the last couple of years. And I just, when I've walked with people through pain and tragedy, and there's been, I've probably done 250 funerals in my life. And some are people who have lived like Florence to be 105. You think she lived a really good life and she's ready to go home. But there are others that you just go, you walk through great pain and grief, and your heart just aches with people. And it might be someone instead that's going through a divorce, or there's some other kind of loss. And you just go, God, what do we hold on to? What is our hope? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking to people who are experiencing troubles in this broken world. He had his own for sure. And listen to how Paul encourages us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. He starts off, therefore we do not what? Lose heart. The only two times that little phrase is used in the New Testament is right here in this chapter. He starts the chapter that way, therefore we do not lose heart. And he, right at the end of the chapter here, verse 16, he says it again. Therefore we do not lose heart. In other words, we don't give up. We don't cave into discouragement. We don't say like, you know what, I'm just going to throw it all in. You hear about people today who are deconstructing in their faith or, you know, they're wondering. Paul says, we're not going to lose heart. Though outwardly, we're wasting away. In other words, my body is deteriorating, right, as I get older. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is what? Temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I just want to stop there a second. Paul is saying this. He's going, what we see with these eyes is all temporary. Like it's here, but it's, at some point it's going to be gone. But he's saying, when the unseen, the invisible, is actually more real than the visible. So he says, we don't lose heart. So what's the wisdom that Paul gives through to us that he receives from the Lord? In a phrase, it's this. It's perspective. Paul sees the bigger picture. Listen to the comparison he makes in verse 17. He says, for our light and momentary troubles, he's saying what we go through right now, he says, I'm comparing that with this eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Here's the bigger picture. Paul's saying, I want you to see your troubles in light of a bigger picture, a more glorious reality. And he uses two words to describe our sufferings or our troubles today. What does he say? They are light and they're what? Momentary. Light and momentary. Now, just being honest, you might find that sort of offensive, right? You go, are you saying that what I'm going through is light and momentary? Let me just give an example here of how it might not go well. Mary and I mentioned we have 5 children. And let's say I'm in the delivery room with Mary, and she's just, Mary did natural delivery, and so there's a bit of pain. A bit is probably the wrong way to say it. There was just pain, right? As all you women said, amen. But if I just told her, as she's just really having a hard time, I go, hey, babe, come on. It's light and momentary. It's just, this is nothing. It's light and momentary. What might she do? I probably have 2 black eyes, right? You don't call someone else's pain light and momentary without really good reason, right? When Paul says that our pain, our sufferings are light and momentary, you might say, Paul, are you saying when my parents left when I was split up when I was a child, that's light and momentary? Are you saying that the loss I experienced of someone I dearly loved to death is light and momentary? Paul, are you saying this unanswered prayer, that this longing of my heart that it hasn't happened yet, is that light and momentary? Paul, how can you use those words? But think about this. Paul himself had all kinds of challenges, right? How did Paul suffer? He was beaten to within an inch of his life. He was shipwrecked and you know, imprisoned in horrible conditions. Maybe one of the most challenging was that some of the people he thought were his closest friends deserted him at his time of greatest need. So Paul, and he also faced physical situations. He says, I've got this thorn that I've asked God to remove, and he hasn't done it. Paul's adult life was a series of constant crises. So Paul's been there. He's had his troubles. So you say, what does he mean when he says there that my troubles are light and momentary? Paul's saying this. He's saying, in light of the bigger picture, in light of the bigger, your trials are not as heavy as the wonder that you will one day experience. And he says momentary because they're not going to last forever, right? Listen to what he says here. He says, for our light and momentary troubles, verse 17, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul is saying, we have these troubles today, but he says, you're going to someday be in a place where you're going to have an eternal glory that far outweighs anything you experienced in your earthly life. When Paul talks about glory, what he's saying is all the wonder of who God is. When you think of the glory of God, you just think of His majesty, His power, the awesomeness of who God is. And Paul says this glory is this wonderful place we're going to be one day in heaven. He's saying is all the presence of God, all of it, it's going to be amazing. Paul says what we will encounter one day will far outweigh. We're going to get to heaven if you're a follower of Jesus, and we're going to look back and go, wow, what I have today far outweighs anything that I experienced in my earthly life. It's not meaning that those things aren't painful, not that they're not worthy of lament and grief, but Paul is saying when you get to heaven one day, there's a chorus we used to sing when we were kids, and maybe some of you know the song if you're my age, but we sang, it will be worth it all when we what? See Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race. Don't lose heart till we see Christ. I have some of you are wondering, what do you bring up in this bag here? It's not a snake. It's a rope here. And this rope represents my life. And imagine that this rope just goes on and on and on, and it goes down the road, and it goes down, you know, out onto the highway, and this rope represents my life. And if we could just keep on stretching it, I should have had that laid out all the way across. If this rope is my existence, you know how long my earthly life is right here? This little red dot right here, this little red spot. This my earthly life is actually smaller than this in the grand scheme of my eternity, right? We sing in that song, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've what? No less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Paul is saying this. He's saying, friends, our troubles in this life compared to the eternal glory that we'll one day experience, he says, our troubles are light and momentary. So how can we respond? Paul says, and therefore we do not lose heart. What he's saying is this. He's saying the eternal glory that's to come is so much bigger and greater that it puts all the troubles we experience today into perspective. If you turn back with me, if you have your Bible, to Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I love this book. Paul is sort of covering the same thing. And Paul mentions in Romans 8 here, he says, all of creation groans, right? Like we groan waiting for God to set us free. This is the chapter when he says, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? But listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. Is that on the screen right there? Can we say that aloud? You ready? Let's say it together. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. What Paul is saying is this, glory beats trouble every time. You know, I think this is one of the salutating parts of Christianity, because Christianity acknowledges pain, but says pain is not the end. Some of you know Christian Science, you know, that they'll say, it's a denial of physical pain or sickness. You don't go to see doctors because it's all a mirage. Or if you're in other religions, they'll say it's really just something you need to, you know, have a consciousness that's above it. Or you need to be released from suffering. Christianity says, no, pain is real. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're not denying pain or suffering. Instead, Paul is saying, like Jesus, we will have troubles, but they don't compare to the wonder and the beauty and joy of our eternal glory. Friends, you know what I love is that one day there's going to be two words, you read them in Revelation 21, that Jesus is going to declare. When we get to heaven, he's going to say, no more. No more sickness, no more cancer, no more disease, no more death, no more divorce, no more whatever it is you fill in the blank, that you say, this is what I struggle with in this life. And he says, there's going to be no more that, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more goodbyes, no more regrets. And Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, what would you say to your 22-year-old self? Now, some of you are like 22 or younger, and so you're not there yet. But if you're well beyond, what would you say to your 22-year-old self? And I thought about it, and the first thing that came to mind is I said, I would tell myself this. I would say, see the bigger picture. See the bigger picture. Sometimes what seems so large and overwhelming in the present, in the bigger picture, you say, God, thank you that you were writing a chapter and you were redeeming something in my life, and you author good stories. And God, your love has been on display all the way through. See the bigger picture. Friends, if we see the invisible future that is awaiting us, we'd be like those saints in Hebrews chapter 11. Who it says that even in their times of suffering, they looked forward to a city whose architect and builder is God. From the context of this chapter, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me just mention three ways to focus your vision on the bigger picture. You'll see these up on the screen here. Number one, welcome the one who lives in you. It's the beginning of this chapter, chapter 4. Paul tells us how he deals with discouragement and pain and the challenges that come his way. And Paul would say it's not Paul. He would say it's the one who lives in him. Listen to what he says in verse 7. I'm sure this passage is familiar to you. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. He's saying we have the presence of the Holy Spirit within these bodies of ours to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You hear what Paul says? He says, this all-surpassing power is from God. And not. In other words, I don't have the resources. The Christian life isn't just difficult. It's what? It's impossible. It's impossible to live a life that honors Jesus without his all-surpassing power within us. This was something Paul couldn't get over. If you want to know how Paul doesn't lose heart, he's saying, I can only do it because of this power within me. He says it again in Colossians 1. He says, God wanted us to know the riches and glory of Christ, and this is the secret. Christ lives where? In you. Christ lives in you, and this gives you the assurance of sharing in his glory one day. It's one of the greatest miracles today that God makes you and me his house. One of the mentors in my life, mostly through his writings, I met him a few times, but a guy named Ian Thomas, he was a British officer who started a Bible school called Cape and Ray. It's where I spent my first year of school, but he said this. He said, Jesus did not come from heaven to earth just to get us out of hell and into heaven, though he's the only one who can do that. He also came to get himself out of heaven and what? Into us. That's what Jesus came to get himself out of heaven and into us. I would tell our church family on a regular basis, I'd say, you did not walk into the house of God today. The house of God walked into the building. And when you leave here today, you're not leaving church. The church is leaving the building. Because God's presence does not live in a building, right? I mean, he's here, but his presence is focused where? It's in you and it's in me. So when we have his presence within us, we say, I'm hard-pressed maybe. Paul says, I'm hard-pressed on every side. Not what? I'm not crushed. It's the power of Jesus, His Holy Spirit living within us. So welcome the one who lives in you. Secondly, feed your faith, not your fear. Let me read verse 18 here in the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 4. He says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So Paul says, fix your gaze, like think about heaven. Another passage he says in Colossians 3, set your minds on things where? Above. Set your minds on things above. He says, fix your gaze. We fix our eyes on the things to come. Our son Andrew, 24 years old, got married 3 months ago in down in Houston. And I'm standing up there. I had the privilege of officiating the wedding. And Andrew's, he almost can't contain himself, right? He's just, but he's got his groomsmen there. And he's waiting for his bride, Allie, to turn around the corner. Andrew was not looking at, you know, the baseball scores, you know, early April. Or he wasn't looking at how the Cavaliers were doing, his favorite team. His eyes were fixed where? They were fixed right there. And when he saw Allie, I just looked over and his huge smile. His eyes were fixed on the one whom he loved, right? And Paul says, we fix our eyes on the glory still to come. He says, think about all of these future, unseen, amazing things. Think about them. Meditate on them. Memorize them. Repeat them to yourself. By the way, I loved hearing how the kids, you know, memorize some of the verses. Surely I will be with you always. Matthew 28:20. How do you do that? One way to do it is to dial up God's word and just to say, you know what, I'm going to take a break. If you find yourself being anxious or wondering, like, I feel churning inside, can I encourage you, take a break from whatever news feed you have. It might be TV, it might be social media. It'll do your soul so much good. I'm married to someone, my wife never, ever turns me. I probably turn it on once every 2 months to watch some kind of sporting event. The challenge is we don't have cable, so it's hard to watch anything. But turn off the TV, turn off your social media feed, stop getting the pings or whatever it is, and come back and say, God, I want to do what you said, that man should not live on bread alone, but by every what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Maybe you saw the results of a study that was completed by Harvard University and the American Bible Society. They found this huge correlation between scripture reading and hope. That's what we're talking about tonight, right? We fix our eyes. We see the invisible future. We have this hope that can't be shaken. Listen to what they said about this. They said, on a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the most hopeful, Americans who report reading the Bible 3 to 4 times per year scored a 42 out of 100. People who read the Bible monthly scored 59. People who read the Bible weekly scored 66. And people who read the Bible multiple times per week, 75. I love when they do these studies and they sort of prove what Scripture already says, right? According to Tyler Vanderweel, director of the Human Flourishing Program at Harvard University, here's what he says, sort of a summary. He says, the evidence shows that Americans who actively engage with the Bible and in corporate worship score higher on every measure of human flourishing, including better mental and physical health and a deeper sense of character and virtue. They even have a greater sense of financial and material stability compared to those who don't attend church or engage with the Bible. If you're not reading the Word every day, or at least several days a week, can I just encourage you? Let God's Word just feed your soul. I mean, look at the statistics there, and you can take a picture of that on the screen. But there's something about getting into God's Word that helps us to see the invisible, to say there's another world out there. There's another home waiting for us to come. Paul says, when we do that, he said, outwardly we might be wasting away, but inwardly we're renewed. How often? Day by day, day by day. Finally, one more thing here. Let the resurrection reframe everything. Paul says this in verse 14 here, chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. He says, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. He goes on, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Why? Because Jesus is the risen King. He's saying that the one who raised Jesus up from death, the same Spirit that when Holy Spirit that went into the tomb, this dark tomb where Jesus' body was lifeless, and breathed life into his body and brought Jesus back to life, he says, is the same one who lives within us and raises us up to new life. And he says, when you have his strength, when you know that that Jesus really conquered death, our death or the death of those we love is not the end of our existence. It's just the turning of a page. It's really just going from this little section right here, and you turn the page, and you have a whole eternity still to come. He says, whatever troubles you have in this life, you have an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Tim Keller, I quoted him the other night, but he says this. He says, if Jesus rose again from the dead, everything is what? Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Friends, if we know that that death as the final enemy has been defeated, we know that everything is going to be okay. So let me come back to what we talked about in the beginning. What are the unanswered prayers in your life right now? What might you say, you know, I've prayed for healing, Jonathan, over and over again, and God just hasn't brought it. Or maybe there's something else that's an unresolved issue in your life, and you think, sometimes I wonder, does God really hear my prayers? Can I trust him? Can I tell you what Paul would tell you tonight? In the face of suffering, Paul would say this, therefore, we don't lose heart. Therefore, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Our light and momentary troubles, my light and momentary troubles, your light and momentary troubles, if you're a follower of Jesus, are achieving for you an eternal glory that far outweighs anything you're going to experience in this life. Therefore, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because what is seen is lasts how long? It's temporary, but what is unseen is what? Is eternal. May your faith, may my faith be strong in him, and may we hold on to the invisible home that we're going to share forever. Let's just trust him together. Would you pray with me? I'm going to invite the team if they want to come up and lead us in a final song here. But let's pray and talk to Jesus together. Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight that you conquered death and that you made that promise when you said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in my Father, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus, we just thank you tonight for paying the price of your life for that future home to be available for every one of us. We want to say tonight, Lord, that we trust you. In the midst of whatever darkness or sorrow or heartache that we face, we trust you. And by your grace, we will not lose heart. So, Lord, I pray for my sisters and brothers here that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, strengthen us for the journey, and help us to walk with you, to serve you, to love you with all of our hearts, until that great day that we see you face to face. For the glory of your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, let's stand together as the team leads us in this song. Oh,
We close. Maybe there is something that you want. You don't want to wrestle with anymore. You don't want to go back to the same old. And you know that God is doing a work. That the things you're experiencing now, that He can actually be using for His purposes, for His glory, for His reasons. And so don't miss this opportunity. If you guys would just maybe sing that chorus again. That the altars are open for you to do some work. To be able to leave this time that we've had a blast. But it's about not only being with our families, but being with Him. And it's about Him wanting to do the work in us and through us. So that we, like Jeff had already said, we take something with us or we leave something here. And so the opportunity that we have now, maybe that's you. Before you get in your car, before you head back to your job, that you say, I want to be done worrying about that. I want to be done having anxiety about that. I want to be done having it consume my every thought. I want to be done with having it on my mind all the time. Well, this is the time that we can come. Lay it here. And be free. And be done. Because we know that there is a God that is using it. And there is a God that will be redeemed for all of glory. And He is using all of these troubles, these situations, to write a narrative in our lives where He will get the glory. And so my challenge for you, if that's you, I'm just going to, if you guys would just give me that chorus one more time, we'll do some work here. But if that's not you, I pray that you would go and take with you this Jesus to our neighbors, our relatives, co-workers, our friends, our acquaintances, because we've talked about this Jesus. You have praised this Jesus. You might have even been healed by this Jesus last night. Our neighbors need to know. Our neighbors need to know this Jesus. The world needs to know this Jesus. So let's leave our troubles here. Let's take our Jesus.
Thank you.
serve less and sanctify our time. And use everything we have gained and gleaned for your glory. Send us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed. We'll see you next year. God bless every single one of you. Thank you, team. You guys are awesome. Hey, Zach, Jeff, are you able to give us an update? Where are you at, Jeff? Jeff, Zarfoss, where are we at? Maybe he's counting. He might be counting the mountain of money. I don't know. All right, if I can find him, I'll announce it. Go.